blind doors to get in.
Yeah, and he, on this occasion, we came in, Baba rode in Charmaine's car with Maramani and Maru and Charmaine driving. And we followed in my car with Dr. Goar and Keith McGaffey. And Rano, I guess, came with us. I'm not positive, but I think she did. And we went to Winterfeld's apartment, where Baba and the ladies went in. We met, and even Fred came out, and we just sat on the steps. It was just a ladies' party with Baba, and they had tea, and they even watched TV a little bit. There were several of those nice little stories involved and all that. I don't know if you want to hear those. Those are Gene stories. And then after that, we came back and got in the car and cars and went out to the Bronx Zoo. And Charmaine was supposed to wheel Baba around the zoo. But just before we got the wheelchair out, got Baba in the wheelchair, and just then Charmaine decided that her shoelaces needed tightening. So she tried one and broke the all the shoelaces. And then she tried the other and did the same thing of all her ridiculous, and they were just, it was a mess. So Baba quickly motioned to Keith and I to push him. So we did. And, of course, during that whole stay, I was with Bob every day from the 17th of July till the time he took off, almost living with him, like a private sama. And, but helping him in and out of bed and out of the car, and, you know, a lot of body contact. You know, and, but also, we had instructions, Keith and I, we must not look at Maramani and Maru. We could see their feet, but we must not look at their faces, which we were very careful about. And in the zoo, where there were sometimes almost confrontations because they'd go somewhere and then have to come double back. And so we Keith and I took turns wheeling Baba around and stopping at different exhibits. And Baba seemed to enjoy seeing the animals. He was especially interested in a great ape or gorilla. I don't know what it was. And in the penguin room, of course, Phyllis tells a different story than I do. I simply tell what I saw. She tells what she says she saw. Anyway, there was I was standing right beside Baba, and there was this great big penguin waddling across, you know, very pompous. And Baba looked up at me and he said, "Get him." So I said, "Yeah, he's the chairman of the board," the way he acted. And we just had a little laugh. I said, "No, that's all I saw." Phyllis said that he came over to the edge of the cave and looked at Baba and put his flippers together and bowed down. I didn't see that. So naturally, I couldn't report that. And then, as time went on, it came time for us to go back to the car. And Keith and I looked at each other and we realized that in our haste to push Baba along, we had forgotten to note which parking lot we were parked in. And there are several, and so we had no way of knowing just where to go. So we were discussing this in front of Baba, and Baba was, you know, quite interested. But then he would stroke his chin, you know, and he'd say, "Well, let's go in that direction." So we all start off in that direction, and we go for a while, and not getting anywhere. So we stop, and we say, "This isn't getting anywhere." And Baba, too, you know, he has a frown on his face, you know. Go in that direction. So we go in that direction. Well, this happened. We went in all directions.
And the women are just following.
They come along, yeah. And meantime, it started to rain, and we didn't want Baba's cast to get wet. Or, well, in fact, we didn't want anybody to get wet. But so we found a shelter with an overhanging roof where we could wait there. And I suppose Baba, meantime, had done his own work, and Charmaine was already on her way, and so that's where she found us. Yeah, she knew.
So did you say Fred was along?
No, no, he wasn't. He stayed at the apartment. Keith and I were the only males. So that was, it really was a comedy, you know, in a way too.
So you rode in the front seat and they rode in the back? In two cars?
Well, in the two cars, I drove my car and Dr. Gowar, and probably Ronald came with us, and Keith and I. And I'm not sure whether I had the wheelchair or Charmaine. One of them said the wheelchair. So that was the incident that Baba referred to in 19.
That's what he meant, that they didn't come with you.
There's no reference at all to our family, because they weren't in New York City at all at that time. They were home.
And then they saw the cars down.
Well, when we first came down to New York, we were on the 7th, I think it was the 17th of July, we went right to Scarsdale, and we saw Baba briefly, and he told us that he wanted our whole family to be at the apartment of Ivy Deuce every day of the following 3 days, be part of his crew there. And from the first day, Baba gave Gene the job. He pointed to this big sign, "I'm available. You know, I'm available," and something to big and small, sinner, and saint and sinner, so through ism, all the isms, you know, directly through the medium of no ism. And Baba instructed Gene that she must have everyone read that when they came in, and after a while, she. Jean was really in charge at the door of greeting people, and she had us read that, and she would tell them who could go in to see Baba, and all that. She had quite a responsibility there for a while. Meantime, the first day, I found myself in the room with Baba all day for interviews and so on. Fantastic. And I don't know how much of this you want to hear. I could go on. So it was very hot, and Baba was stripped to the waist. We did not have air conditioning, but what we did have was over in a corner of the room where Baba was receiving people, which was a bedroom. He sat on a bed. Over in one corner, out of the way, there was a large tub, metal tub, with a big cake of ice in it. And back of that, there was a fan blowing. That was our air conditioning, which was all right. And people would come and go. They'd come in one way and go out through the kitchen and back out. So that they didn't have to interfere with each other. The movement was a circular movement. And Baba also had big trays of fruit to give as prasad. And sometimes he would, if there was a few moments of waiting for people to come, he would have all the group workers and so on come in and sit down, and he would tell stories like Janaka stories and things like that. And on other occasions, he would just mischievously throw fruit to us who were in there in his usual way, looking one way and throwing it in another way and saying, "Why did you get it?" And Gustaji was there, John Bass, Keith, and Baba had John Bass give Keith his first book to read of Baba, which was The Wayfarers. And he was looking through that in the meantime. But when Baba would toss fruit to us, if we missed any of it, we were not allowed to pick it up and eat it. In fact, all through my years with Baba, I noticed that whenever he tossed prasad, fruit, or candies, or even threw a stone to me like he did in 1954, if you missed, you mustn't pick it up from the ground. You missed, he would send you another one. But in this case, if we missed and it fell on a chair or even on the floor, it all was to be given to Gustaji. So Gustaji put on the act of being delighted every time we would miss, and he would have some extra fruit, you see. He was a wonderful person. And so these were some of the things that went on in there. And finally I made the mistake of thinking about how it happened that we were so lucky as to be in there with Baba in such an intimate way while he was receiving people. And I got to speculating, is it, you know, does Baba somehow make use of our energies, you know, with his birth here? And instantly Baba snapped his fingers, everybody out of the room. Because, you know, and then after that, people who came out were all in tears, which he was showing that he didn't need our energies. It was simply an act of compassion and grace that we were allowed to be there. We have some pictures taken at the center earlier in May. But very few pictures were taken of Baba in 52.
And then in India, you'd also talk about
Baba. I have quite a few slides. Yes, I took in India. 56, we took slides and movies. 58, slides and movies. 62, so.
You still have all your
photographs? Copies were sent of, I guess, most everything here. It was sent over here.
I mean, when the time comes, this is going to take years to be published because this book is so big, it's like 100 volumes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever consider allowing us to use some of those?
Well, I suppose so. We probably will use some. In fact, I recently sent a whole batch of pictures taken at the center to Hermes, who wanted to include some of them in his new book.
He's actually the one that's arranging publication for
this. I see.
So, the publisher in contact with
him. Yeah. So, I sent him 41 pictures, and I received a letter from him over here, and he's going to use some of the ones of Baba on the beach. Very beautiful. Or with his feet in the water. I don't know which ones he will use, but he wanted to use some. Mm.
You know, just recently I've been working on this 1956 business, mm-hmm. and of course Phyllis's account, this is from their writing,
mm-hmm.
very detailed, but I thought maybe you could fill in a few things. She's coming with herself.
Yeah.
I was going to ask her, but she may not have been often making you and
Well, things were happening all the time to everyone that traveled with Baba, as well as many others, of course. And I'm sure that many of the things that happened just were not recorded.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm so happy that you're here. I'd rather, you know, not just repeat what she's written.
Yeah. Well, let me think. You want me to just rattle on about 1956? Well, of course, our whole family... was at Idlewild Airport. It was known as Idlewild Airport then. And when Baba's plane arrived, and it taxied up to a gate, we could be close by in those days, and there were no walk-on or walk-off ramps. They had to come down steps. And their plane came right up close to where a few of us were. We had inquired and found out where his plane was coming in. And we started waving right away to Baba, you know, and great. And then people began coming down the steps. And Jean, seeing that impulsively, looked at Baba and said, "Come on." You know, if she had thought it over, she wouldn't have been so. But Baba did immediately got up and came to the door and came down the steps and started waving to us. And they walked by. They had to go in through customs. And... of course, after Baba got through customs, he embraced everyone who were there. And then there were a lot of pictures taken as Baba was getting into the convertible of Harry and Mary and Florsheim.
Was his name Mickey also?
Harry, but Mickey was a nickname.
Who do you think took all these pictures?
Well,
I
took a lot of slides. Lowell was taking movies. And I think Joseph Harb was taking pictures. And let's see, I think Don Stevens and Charmaine and various others who had cameras.
Yeah. She writes about one incident where Bob was getting in the car right there and the policeman... the car was stopped and the police were saying, "Not come on." And she says, a devotee from Washington, usually a mild man, said, "Tell him to wait." Do you know who that was?
Possibly Ned Foote. I don't know, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It might also have been Andrew Muir.
That's a mild man.
Yeah. So before long, we were on our way, and we traveled. Our family jumped into a taxi. First thing you know, we were running parallel with the car Baba was in, and we started waving back and forth. And Florentines. And so our taxi driver was making it embarrassing because he was staying abreast of Mama's car, so we had to tell him to go ahead, you know, because he didn't want to keep waving. So we got to the hotel before Obama did, and we were there and ready with our cameras. And when Baba came in, he said, "Oh, we meet again, you know." And we have some beautiful pictures of that gesture, you know. Oh, you know. And so we came in, so many things involved, and there were no preparations for Baba's reception room. So several of us began to scurry around. Of course, Baba had gone up to his room, suite of rooms. And Gene said, we need a chaise lounge. And Harry Florsheim says, "You got it. I'll get it." So he was good about that. He went to someone in the staff. And first thing you know, we had a chaise lounge. And then Gene said, "You can't sit on this the way it is. It's got to be something clean." And she turned to Ann Karsh and said, "Do you have something white at home, a counterpane, a bed cover or something?" Ann said, "Yes, I'll get it. Go home." Gene said, "Go home and get it." So she went home and got that and came back and had that nice white for Obama to sit on. And there was like a bar there. And this is no good. And we had to cover that up. You know, a lot of things had to be arranged. We have to have a table by Baba. We have to have fruit and flowers. And so all that had to be taken care of. And then and sort of a setup where we had some control of the people coming in to see Baba and all that. And before long, Baba was receiving people, and the cameras were taking pictures of the events, and the interviews went on with some breaks when everybody would be called to sit near Baba and spend a few moments with him. And Don Sprinkle, all during that stay, would bring one flower every day, which would gain him entry to Baba, right, to Baba, to give to Baba. And so Baba gave everyone prasad as they went, came and left. And, see, I guess most of this is in Phyllis's account. The one day, well, we were there several days, and one day, for example, Jean intuitively just jumped up as though someone had said, "Hey, come out." And I said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going over there." So she went, so I tagged along. She went over by the elevator. And we got there just in time for the elevator door to open up. And here's Baba with Mary Jane. And Mary Jane promptly hands Jean a package as though it had been prearranged, you see. She responded to Baba, and it was Baba's a pink coat and sadrav, which Baba wanted her to launder. And so she took that, and we were not staying at the same hotel, but one nearby. And later in the day, we were going to our hotel, and Jean was carrying this package, and suddenly it dawned on me, "Hey, she's carrying Baba's coat." So I said, "Let me carry that for a while." And I tell this story under the caption, "Were you ever loved by a coat? Were you ever loved by a coat?" And so when I got it under my arm, waves of love were coming out of that package. Just waves of love. That was live love. Baba's love. Just enveloping, you see. And Jean worked hard at the apartment, laundering the coat. And luckily she had a little travel iron to use all kinds of towels to get the water out, you know. That,
you don't have to dry clean this coat?
Well, she didn't. And it was very difficult to get it dry and then to iron it and have it ready to bring in the following morning. But she did. Oh, yes. Yes. Different times, yeah, along the way. And, of course, she always said, like Phyllis did, that she felt that she was the one being laundered with many tears. Baba had our daughters, called them in and had them make a salad for him in the kitchen, go in the kitchen there where, and Ivy Deuce's kitchen, and I kind of take over and break it all up. He showed them how to do it. And they always said it must have been a salty salad because of their tears of love. And many things were happening.
And she said that was in 52.
Where am I? I'm sorry, you're right. You're right. Thank you for correcting me. That's right. One day, Baba, we were all up in Baba's suite of rooms, and just sitting there, Baba talking a little bit. It was lunchtime, and Baba said, okay, everyone go. And everyone was leaving, and then Eric called and said, Darwin, Gene, the children, Baba wants you to stay. So we stayed, and then Baba motioned we should sit on the carpet in front of him, all five of us, which we did cross-legged. And Baba spoke a little bit, and but then there were occasions like that when Baba would open up, and when he did, more love would pour forth, and he'd reveal more of himself, and our heart centers would be opened up, and like on this occasion, we would be able to love him as in your wildest moments of wishful thinking you would want to love him. We just sat there adoring him. And we, later comparing notes, all felt that we were completely united. We were one. I was also aware of being enveloped in light. Delmonico. And so Obama said that when an ordinary person is hungry, he eats some food and his hunger is satisfied. But when Baba is hungry, it is the love of his dear lovers that satisfies him. And Baba is very happy with your love, he said. But of course, he made it all possible. But I mean, this was just one incident with our family, and I suppose similar things happened with others. You know, so, I don't know. But this was one of the incidents that happened there. Then we went after several days in New York. We went to Newark Airport and got on the same plane with Baba and flew down to Wilmington, North Carolina, and then went by station wagon, car, and bus to the center from there. On the plane, I managed to sit fairly close to Baba with one of the Mandali across the aisle, and Baba called me over, and we had a conversation about the race situation in America and what it's really like. He seemed keenly interested and realistic on and then just before we were getting off the plane, Baba motioned me to, as soon as we get off the plane, take me to the men's restroom. I said, okay. And in Wilmington. And so we were coming down the steps, and there were several others meeting us there, including Otto Trogel from Florida, whom I knew, and I realized I didn't know where the restrooms were. So I said to Otto, Bob wants me to take him to the men's restroom. Do you know where it is? He said, yes. And I said, you want me to lead us? So he led the way, maybe it was my test, I don't know, but Otto went to the one that said white. So Baba went in there, and he came out, and he looked, saw the one that said colored, and he went in there too. He came out. He went in both. What he did inside, I don't know. But he was interested in these. Yeah. Of course, it might have been my test, you know, which I would lead him to. I don't know. But anyway, that's what happened. And Baba had me ride in the station wagon with Margaret Crass. And someone else, I don't know. And we, just a few of us went, I guess just Margaret and I went to Baba's house with Baba and the Mandali. And the others went into the center. And so we stayed on the porch at Baba's veranda a while. There was a swing there. And Baba sat in the swing. And I said, Baba, this reminds me of how you were placed in the swing at Sikori in 1954. And they did swing you back and forth. Sort of a little ritual reminiscent of baby Krishna. And then Baba walked in the house, and I walked in. Margaret stayed in the porch, and that was a faux pas for me to walk in without being invited. So Nilu started to berate me. You know, and I just looked at him, you know, Baba was standing there. And Baba smiled and stopped Nilu, you know, and he said, he was here from way back, you know, he had a lot to do with all the center, building the high, everything, you know. And what, so sorry, Nilu said. But then I tried to make a graceful exit, you know. And, but before long, we all piled into a station wagon with Adi driving to go down to the center. And again, I made a faux pas. I was supposed to direct them. And somehow one could get confused around Baba. Not often, but once in a while. And I sort of misdirected him a little road, and Adi had to back up, and it was embarrassing. But we finally got down to the center part, and Baba was annoyed with me a little bit. And we got out of the car. And Adi was driving, but I was supposed to tell him which road.
That happened with Fred?
Yeah, Fred did it. He said, where'd all the trees come from? And so we got out of the car, and Baba was still sort of annoyed with me. And he looked at me, you know, and I didn't know what to say. But even in the guest house, you know, it was good.
I just wanted to ask you a question. In 52, when Baba came back, he slept in that house.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Yeah, I stand corrected. I assumed they had. I know they stayed there.
I mean, must be one guy for night watch.
Yeah, there had to be.
I just thought it was kind of cool. Why didn't they stay there?
I just assumed they did it all the time, but maybe they didn't.
When she writes her account, she says, I didn't see the
land. Yeah, that's right. She did say that.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I don't know. She knows more about that than I do. But also, I don't know if you have it in your account, in 1952, Baba had money phone us from Myrtle Beach to have our son Lowell come down, especially to stay overnight and do night duty for him.
He did one night.
Yeah.
He left with mine.
The following day he left.
He couldn't really follow Baba's trip.
No, the point was that he was very tired. He arrived, traveled all night, and he was in the caretaker's cabin, Frank's cabin, the next morning shaving, and he heard the door open, and someone tapped him on the shoulder, put his hand on the shoulder, and turned around, looked right into Baba's eyes. And that was his first meeting. And
first meeting,
he did night duty, and he was the only one there with Baba. And Baba showed him the buzzer, he would push the buzzer, and maybe ask for the time, or drink of water, or something.
And, he would, sit outside the room.
No? Baba took him into the bedroom across the hall and told him to lie down. He said, but Baba, I'll fall asleep and I won't hear the buzzer. And so Baba insisted that he lie down. It wasn't all his fault. He knew he would fall asleep. So that's what happened. So when Baba did push the buzzer, he never heard it.
So he didn't
come in? No, he was right across the hall. Baba teased him ever, you know, after that. You know, Baba, we shouldn't go out here sleeping. You know. But it was really...
So was one of the other mom there?
Nobody else was there.
I see.
Oh, no, Lowell and Baba were alone. Yeah. Yeah. But I really think it made Lowell feel badly that he did fall asleep. Yeah, I guess. Anyway, when he returned home, even though he'd been there only one night, he was transformed. He was a different person. His eyes were deep and his voice was resonant. And a great power was emanating from him, which could be felt throughout the whole city. Yeah. So maybe that was just what Baba wanted to do. I don't know. I was 52. I don't know. Do you want me to go on around about 56?
Yeah. I'll get started.
I don't think of anything that would be different from what Phyllis had accounted.
Well, daughters was going to have an eye operation.
Oh, yes.
Which one?
Leatrice. You want that story? Of course, it's Leatrice's story.
I didn't get that one.
Well, she's, from the time she was a little girl, suffered from alternating squint, which is that one eye or the other would turn in, and she didn't have synchronization. And she could sometimes, through eye exercises and all that, have the cosmetic appearance of straight eyes, but they weren't really. She couldn't. But she knew that Baba would eventually take care of them. And so nothing was done in 52, but in 56, Baba called us into our family into the lagoon cabin one day, and he was businesslike, and he said, "Now, what about your eyes?" And so Leatrice told him that she worked for the General Electric Company. At that time, she was a messenger, and a philanthropic gentleman, I think his name, I don't know if you want his name, but actually he's the son of Sir Winfield Grenfell, anyway, the one who was famous for exploring Labrador and all that. Anyway, he was philanthropically inclined. And he had offered, through another person, to pay for an operation that might straighten Leatrice's eyes. And Leatrice had thanked him and said she would think about it. And she told Baba all this. Baba went over it pretty well. Then he said, "Well, okay, we'll talk about it later on." And so it was finally in San Francisco, Baba called us in again. And he said, "Now, about your eyes. Have your operation between September certain date and October certain date." And he said, "Let that man pay for it. And don't worry, everything will be all right. It will be all, your eyes will be fine. And don't have any anxiety at all." And he had a paperweight, a plastic paperweight with a nice tree-like figure in the center, quite heavy. And he held this for a while, and then he tossed it to her, just what she caught. "Just keep this with you when you have your eye operation." And that's it. So when we got back, she followed through, had the eye operation, was under wraps for several weeks, and as it turned out, her insurance paid for the operation, and her salary continued, so that not only was everything paid for, but she made money on the deal, as they say, and didn't require the help from this man. And it was a very profound spiritual experience between Leatrice and Baba while having the operation, and for the weeks afterwards while her eyes were bandaged. And of course the bandages were finally taken off, and she had and has 20/20 vision. And so this was like a minor miracle, major, I don't know, some kind of a miracle. Mm-hmm. Well, that's our story. Well, on the beach, Baba sent us scurrying around to try to find nice shells to bring back to the ladies. And we would bring all kinds, that some that were not just ordinary. And Baba would take them, looked at them, and hand them back to us. We had a souvenir, which Baba attached. And actually, Baba sat on the beach and started playing with the sand and made a pile of something there. And someone asked Baba, "What is that?" Baba said, "The first man." And of course, Baba always when he was at the beach, he would go and put his feet in the water. And he did then too. Bama? No, no, he had sandals. Just left the sandals off. And of course, we have many programs at the barn, and Baba would see individuals and groups in the lagoon cabin. And we went to Brookgreen Gardens, you know. There were TV people there. We had the gondola and fireworks one night. You know, Phyllis has given all that. Oh, well, that was... well, let me go back, a nice little story. In Hollywood, when we got to Hollywood, nothing, well, of course, Baba had not slept for 18 days. And, no rest. When we left Myrtle Beach, we flew with him up to Washington. And I'll be writing all this stuff in my book too, you know. And, Baba went in to Ivy Deuce's apartment there to see the Sufis
in Washington.
House or apartment? I didn't go there. And we, meantime, chartered a bus and did some sightseeing around and came back to the airport and met with Baba in the evening and got on a plane for L.A. In those days, we were flying propeller planes, and it took us 12 hours to fly from Washington to L.A. And one stop in Dallas, Baba got off, and I got off. Almost no one else got off. Just stood around a little bit. It was very hot. It was late at night. But on the plane, I managed to sit directly in back of Eric, and Baba was sitting to the left of Eric, so I was quite close to Baba. Baba had turned around and told me to sleep, but I couldn't sleep.
Baba was by the window.
Yes, he had the window seat. You know, there were just two seats there in this little part of the plane. And I know that Baba didn't rest at all that night, because I didn't either, but I wasn't tired the next day. And being so close, I couldn't pass up a single instant to him to sleep. But perhaps I disobeyed Mama, too. But I just couldn't sleep anyway. Anyway, the following day we got to the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. And again, nothing was prepared. So Gene and I again scurried around to prepare the room. And I actually stationed myself on the door and lined up people from the Hollywood area who would bring people into Baba. And they would come in. And this went on all day. There were many things that happened, little stories that could be told. But one nice story was, in the afternoon, there was a lull, and Baba and Daman and Erich and the others went up to Baba's suite of rooms. And after a while, more people came. So I thought, well, they have appointments, so I better go up and tell Baba. So I took the elevator up and was walking toward Baba's room, and he came out. He must have known I was coming, and he held up his hand, questioning me, what's happening? And so I came over close to him, and I said, some more people have come, Baba, with appointments. And he looked at me, you know, sort of questioningly, and he said, does that mean I have to go back down there? And I could see he was so tired. You know. I said, I'm afraid so, Baba. So then he just leaned over and put his head on my shoulder. For a few seconds. Then he raised it up and put a happy expression on his face and motioned Eric and so on. Let's go. And very lovely. Of course, the whole trip with us was an experience of the romance of the soul. And we have many opportunities to be close to the beloved and to have intimate personal experiences with him, and draw close to him. That was in Hollywood, and so, of course, finally, all of those things were taken care of, the interviews were taken care of, but Baba was then supposed to go to the home of Hilda Fuchs, and I know I felt so much so intensely for Baba, because I knew how tired he must be.
Right after this incident?
Well, and I thought he should be resting, you know. How could I know how to measure what he needs? But at least, I think he, of course, he wanted us to feel very strongly for him. So I even asked one of the people going on ahead if they would arrange a little room at Hilda's where Baba could rest. But he actually he didn't take a rest there.
Did he lie down?
Did you go with him?
She didn't go.
I was there. I didn't think he had gone into that room. Perhaps he did. Anyway, possibly.
After that, I think you went to the ice cabin.
Well, no, just a moment. After that, a group of people was at Hilda's to see Baba. And so he sat in her living room, and there were all these people, and they didn't know what to do. And Jean, who was in the background, you know, she realized these people don't know what to do. And so suddenly she was impelled to just go forward and kneel at Baba's feet and put her head in his lap. And as a result of that, Baba just gave her such a blast of love, you know.
Because these people, they weren't followers.
Friends. So then Baba sat, and I don't know. Still, they didn't seem to know enough to come forward, you know. And Baba waited a little while and just left. Then we went to the Garden of Allah restaurant.
A lot of these California people were new.
Yeah. And at the Garden of Allah restaurant, we had a cake for Baba. But there weren't, somehow there was a little mix up, and didn't seem to be sufficient places for Baba's Mandali. So he only stayed a little while and then left and told us to stay. Oh, that was back in New York. Yes, that was we were with Baba like 2.5 hours or more there, which was lovely. Yeah, yes. Baba mingled with the group. And I had been placed at Baba's table with Enid Kaur, Margaret Cross, Elizabeth, and John Bass.
Did you remember?
It was a dinner, of course. There was something to drink for a toast, a juice of some sort of a dinner, and of course the birthday cake. Actually, I don't think Baba ate anything. I don't even know if he ate a piece of roll. I don't think he ate anything. Of course, he cut
it. Were you ever there when Baba was eating?
Baba would eat by himself.
Did he have all his meals at the guest house?
Yeah, over there.
And the monster would eat at his house?
I'm not too sure. I know Baba would come to the guest house too.
That guest house was supposed to be for women.
Yeah.
And there the kids were
found. Of course, sometimes, like at Scarsdale in 52, Baba would sometimes have a tray or something and be eating. But I never saw him eat a whole meal. Sometimes he would come to our dining room on Maribat Hill, under the corrugated roof in the back. That was our dining room. And he would wait on us, take dishes and serve us. Put
in 54? 54. In Myrtle Beach also, he kept saying that he would go to the kitchen. That's the original kitchen. When you all were eating. That other kitchen wasn't there.
It wasn't there, no. So,
in Hollywood.
You wanted to know about Muir Woods.
Yeah.
Well, one day, in California, in San Francisco. We had like a day off. We could do sightseeing or something. So B. Dimfo took us, our family, to Muir Woods, which we enjoyed seeing. It's not